T. Lydon on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm probably doing what everybody else is doing, trying to figure out what my Apple ID is so I can have the Phillies game on my computer. Here's the good news, though, folks. It's free. You can watch the game. You can watch the game. It will be free. Isn't that outstanding? So I might have to wait till the next break because I don't have this information readily available to myself. And here I'm sure a lot of people like me looking forward to seeing the Phillies get back at it. They won three games against the Miami Marlins before the All-Star break. They had 4 days off. Rob Thompson says the 4 days was great. These guys feel like the momentum can continue. Kyle Gibson will be on the hill going up against Justin Steele. Definitely Steele, left-hander. So we'll see what happens down there at Citizens Bank Park. Definitely a hot one. Hot one all weekend. It continues. I think we're going to be in this heat wave 8 consecutive days. So hopefully once the sun goes down, you can, at least it won't be up in those high 90s at that point. And, you know, enjoy a cold beverage of some sort and take in and see what happens with the Phillies. They are in the third, tied for the third wild card heading into tonight's game and this three-game set with the Chicago Cubs. Alec Bohm will be the DH. What else did I have out there? Schwarber will be, we'll see how he performs. He has 29 home runs currently, five behind Aaron Judge, who leads with 34. And so baseball is back. Also tonight, I thought we could continue the conversation about the proposed new arena. It's interesting, the conversations. I didn't realize how many people just don't trust that it won't cost the taxpayer anything. it is going to be privately funded. It's not happening overnight. It's a 10-year project. But the location is East Market. Mike, how do you feel about a Center City arena?
I think initially it's a little bit of a shock because you enjoy going and having all the stadiums in the same area. But I've always thought it'd be pretty cool. We did it a couple of years ago, taking the train from here to Jersey and then up to New York for a Flyers-Rangers game. It was just an awe of kind of coming out.
Oh, meaning you did the Hamilton thing?
Yeah. So it was kind of an awe of coming out from the train and being able to go right up into Madison Square Garden. So with the concept of what they want to do and make it a modernized but better Madison Square Garden here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And being somebody from the suburbs that would ride the regional rail in very easily.
Yeah.
Right into Jefferson East, and if it stays at that name now. But I think it would be a fantastic idea to have down there. Obviously, there's a lot of logistics that have to be figured out and people are in a panic right now. But you got to understand, there's going to be a lot of planning that goes into this over the next decade before
there. They're not going to break ground for years.
Right. So I think it would be pretty cool. I think it would be awesome just to be able to just take the train in and not have to worry about it. Because if I did it now, just to the sports complex, I'd have to get into the city, then jump the Broad Street line where you said it's just you take the train in and you're there. And I think it would be pretty cool in that facet of it. But I would definitely wouldn't be trying to drive, especially when the train being that accessible and easy. But then you still have, you had the public transportation, you can go down. If you wanted to still go down South Philly and hit the casino and Xfinity and all that stuff, you still have that option to do that. But, I think it gives a different part of the city a bit of attention as well, instead of just South Philly that gets
all
the attention.
Well, that's one of the things I like. I know when I first came here working for Comcast Sportsnet, and, you know, we were all new, we were all roughly the same age, hadn't started families yet. And that area was where we would go after our, you know, sports show, which was at night, 10 o'clock show. And we were, that's 2nd Street there, and that block right up between Market and Chestnut. Everything that was there was where we would go to hang out together. And now years later, I haven't been down there in forever. So I think it would be interesting to see what happens in that regard. All right, we got that. And then I had an interesting article that in The Athletic by Rich Hoffman, who covers the Sixers on a daily basis, who, by the way, I saw today. It was kind of fun bumping into him at a golf course. But his article today is, could this team coming up for this upcoming season be the best Sixers team in the process? And I thought about it. I was like, wow, all right, let me think about this. Because I think a lot of people really liked the team that lost on the quadruple doink in Toronto that featured Jimmy Butler. I think there's some that would say that team, that is pretty darn good. But with the acquisitions, P.J. Tucker, Melton, Daniel House Jr., adding them, a healthy James Harden, an up-and-coming Tyrese Maxey with a now twice runner-up MVP in Joel Embiid, and I haven't even mentioned Tobias Harris's name, I think Rich might be onto something. So we'll talk about that as well. And then I really want to hear people's thoughts. I was just saying, the Eagles came out with their black helmet that features the white wings. We don't know exactly when they'll be wearing those. But I said to them, and they're not the only team. I, for one, thought the Bengals one that is pretty much all white and then has the black lines where the normal helmet they wear is the orange with those black lines. The white's pretty slick. And there's some other teams that have come out with their secondary helmet. But I say to myself, it's an interesting marketing idea. Because when you come out with the different jerseys, and I think there's too many, quite frankly, in the NBA for sure, too many. You know, people go and buy them. With the helmet, I mean, you're not running out, even if you love the look, you're not running out to buy the helmet, I don't think. So what you think of the look, and then also what you think of my thought, like, why put so much money into that part of marketing? Where is the return, I guess, is my point. 610-632-0975. And I'll just reiterate for anybody looking for that Phillies game, Apple TV Plus, you can watch it for free. I went on my computer. It's already up on there. I'm trying to get it on another computer now, but I have to sign in on my computer. It just popped up. I actually watched their pregame show. It was kind of fun. I like when I get to take in something new and see how people do things differently. Let's check in with Tyler in Springfield. Tyler, are you at the game? What are you doing?
What did you say?
I said, are you going to the game or watching the game?
I'm watching the game, but I wanted to see how it is. Like, are we going to win tonight or?
Are you in a tunnel, Tyler? Because you have a lot of outside noise there.
No, I'm inside.
Oh. Are you going to win tonight? I don't know. Watch the game and see.
Yeah.
Gibson's on the hill. They're on a 3-game winning streak, but they had a 4-day hiatus. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Tyler.
All right.
Thanks for making the call. let me look into my crystal ball and see if they're going to win tonight. That would be nice if I could do that. Then I'd probably place a... I did see one thing I am looking for tonight is Castellanos. And while he has struggled, I didn't realize that he has not struggled against left-handers. He's actually batting .298 against left-handers. So we'll see if he has. And they had a prop bet of 1.5 bases for him tonight. I think I would take the over on that. I mean, two singles or one double or anything. And what if he hits a home run? I liked that. Everybody knows I like to look at the different prop bets, but in the sports, like in baseball and hockey in particular, I always say I find them intriguing, but I don't know which way to go. That's funny. All right, I got my computer up. Mike, this is exciting. I got it up and running on, you know what this, I would love to know if I was at home, because I have the apps underneath, so I have like Netflix, YouTube.
You have one of the smart TVs, right?
I have a smart TV, so would Apple TV be one of my icons below, or would I have to somehow add that?
You probably can. It's probably an app you can download to the TV itself, and even if it's one of the Apple TVs, you'd be able to go right through it. But with the smart TVs as well, I think you can probably download the app like you have like Netflix and everything else.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I say this is because we all have to educate ourselves. I mean, come this fall, your Thursday night football, and you don't want to wait until it's an Eagles game. You want to make sure you can get your Amazon, because that's where your Thursday night football will be. So, as I say, don't wait until it's the game you want to watch. I didn't realize that Friday night baseball is on Apple TV Plus. I also didn't know until today that I thought it was just Apple TV. I didn't know they had a Plus. And I believe tomorrow's game is on Peacock. So we're starting to have to see all kinds. Now, see, this is weird for me. It says live now, Mike. Watch live. And nothing happens. Oh, here we go. All right. Maybe I just didn't have it. Maybe I just didn't have it going. All right. So I have no audio, so it won't be bothering anybody out there. And, yeah, we can keep an eye on what the Fightins are doing. Back to the helmets. Mike, can I ask you real quick? Do you like the new Eagles look?
I don't think it's terrible. It's a little bit weird looking because you've seen the green for so long. It's nice to have, like, if they wear the all black or the black with the white pants this year. In the years past, when you had the all black or the black jerseys with the green helmet, it just seemed off. So it'll be nice to see that.
So that you think you automatically assume they'll wear it with the all black?
I would think. I don't know.
They didn't tell us yet.
But. Right. I would think. I don't necessarily didn't like the green jersey with the black helmet. I think the black and black will be good, will be better.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to seeing them. I said, hopefully, they'll wear them in a night game and it'll stand out a little, get a little bit more pop. But I'm looking forward to seeing them. It's a little bit of, I said, finally a different look than just that midnight green we've been used to.
Kyle Schwarber just hit a solo home run off steal. Here we go. Yes, he was in the leadoff position.
And not even the All-Star break or home run derby can slow him
down. No, I know. So they were talking about his outfit on the red carpet. I had missed the red carpet, but I enjoyed, you know, I said, well, I got to go see what his outfit looked like. It was awesome. He was in all black, but the best part was he came out in his all black kind of suit, and he had great, aviator sunglasses on, and then his wife was in all white, and then their baby, the small little guy, was dressed in a suit as well and had the same glasses as Schwarber. It was sweet. So anyhow, Phillies are on the board. That didn't take long. Let's go. 610-632-0975. I think in the pregame, they were talking about the two guys that you would look for to do well tonight against Steele, Rhys Hoskins and Alec Bohm in particular. So we'll see how this works out this evening.
That might be the first of many tonight too, D, because we've seen what's happened in July and August over the years. A hot, humid night like that tonight.
Balls are flying.
And we might have our own home run derby this weekend, because tomorrow and Sunday are supposed to be just as hot, if not hotter.
Oh my gosh, Sunday, I had a friend who said today they have tickets for Sunday's game. That game, was it? Yeah, because the game's at noon.
Yeah, 12
a lot to 5. Of times it's 1:35. Noon, and he's like, well, we are on the third base side. You get shade.
You don't get shade
at noon. The sun is right above you.
No, you'll need it about 3-4 o'clock before you get the shade. Yeah. I actually have tickets as well that I'll be here, so I won't be using them. So probably not a bad thing. I'm going to see if I can exchange them. But
as I said, if you could have one of those small hats that has the little umbrella thing on it.
That would be clutch.
Or a big brim, you know, like a big hat that you wear on.
Yeah, especially because my seats are in right field, so, and you know that stadium, there's no relief in right field. You're baking in the sun for 3.5 hours, however long that game may go.
Yeah, I was saying, because I did get up and play golf this morning. The air moved. I mean, it was hot.
There was a light breeze this morning.
There was a light.
Before it really kind of
ramped
up.
It wasn't a cool breeze, but the air moved, which I like.
The air's moving it. It helps a little bit.
The problem is when you had to stop and stand for any amount of time, the sun just beating on you was tough. Really was. I never poured any water on my head or anything, but it was definitely a little on the warm side. Eddie's with us in Chester. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, I used to do that all the time, pour water on my head and it would run down your back.
It's perfect. And because you have the I have the dry fit shirts, it dries in a minute, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's a great way to cool off.
It is.
Yeah. But I heard you mentioning the what is it, Apple Plus and Peacock?
Yes.
And they charge extra for that on the cable company.
Right. I don't know if this is just a special tonight because of Friday Night Baseball and trying to get people to tune in, but tonight you are not charged for going to Apple TV Plus.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Oh.
I have it on two computers right now.
Oh, all right, because I was pissed off when you told me that, because I'm not paying.
No, you shouldn't pay extra. I mean, I don't know for how long this will last, but for tonight, if you want to watch it, just go, it says TVApple.com. And if you go to their live, you can click on the Phillies.
Oh, all right. Now, you also said that the Eagles were going to have a game this year.
Well, Thursday night games are going to be on Amazon Prime. So
all of the games.
All the Thursday night games. And my point was, don't wait until it's your team that you want to watch to make sure you know how to get it. So with the Amazon, as a lot of people, because a lot of people have Amazon Prime for, you know, their buying of goods. So you get that, the Amazon TV, with being a Prime member. So for me, that's already on my TV.
Yeah, I have Amazon to buy things, but the Amazon Prime is you get free shipping.
Correct.
Yeah. I pay for my shipping because I don't get that much.
You don't get that much, yeah. So I don't know what that, I don't know how that would work. Coming to Eagles. I don't even know how many. I'll have to look. I know they have at least one Thursday night game. I thought maybe two.
Well, I will pay for that because I love football.
Yeah.
And then you can
cancel it.
Exactly.
Or you can wait until the actual game, and a lot of times you get the free trial for a month, so you get that first one for free.
You know all the angles, D.
Yeah.
One more thing. You said Schwarber hit a home run. What's he got now?
30. 28? That was number 30.
30. Man, he's on pace to hit 60.
Yeah, he is. I couldn't believe he was only five behind Aaron Judge. I mean, Aaron's running away with it. He has 34 going into tonight, but 30's a big number.
Yeah, he's on pace to hit 60.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I got.
Thanks, Eddie. Thanks for calling us.
Have a good one.
You too. Hope you get your Apple TV up.
As he hit that, Bob Wankel tweeted out, Kyle Schwarber is currently on pace for 52.33 home runs.
Yeah, because based on the number of games
left.
Yeah, he's on the other side of half.
And the next month and a half, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Could be in his favor. He can get into the 40s, and who knows where he ends up. Does he make a run at Ryan Howard's 58?
I know, right? We went through that. I had that. I should have kept it. Maybe I have it on my computer, of the top five home run performances by a Philly in a given season. Ryan Howard has two of them. Schmitty had one of them. Because on the top five list, only one time did the team actually make the postseason. That was unbelievable to me when you had a guy who was on such a tear in a given season. So, 610-632-0975. So the Fightins are on the board, up 1-0 after one. Schwarber getting to it early. And as I said, these guys, listening to Rob Thompson pregame, you know, talking in the dugout, he feels good about this team, wants to make the postseason, as you can imagine. And because of that third wild card, they're going to stay in this mix to the very end. I saw where the Padres are playing the Mets. Yes, because Max Scherzer's on the hill. But the Padres have the second wild card currently. They are 2.5 games up on the Phillies and the Cardinals. And then, of course, the Braves have the first wild card. And
a couple of interesting games around the division, like you said. And Yu Darvish and the Padres are going against Scherzer and the Mets tonight. And you got Ohtani and the Angels taking on Charlie Morton and the Braves down in Atlanta. So,
interesting games
to watch.
Ohtani, in his last six starts, has given up 2 total earned runs.
Yeah, he's been lights out.
The fact that we never get to see this guy in the postseason is ridiculous. And the fact that he's on the West Coast and I don't really get to see him, period. Because I don't have, maybe I should get MLB TV and then maybe I would watch it more. But the fact that you never see him and Trout in the postseason is just,
wow. It's a crime for the game that they're not there.
And I'm going to tell you something. I get up and I watch SportsCenter all the time. I don't feel like I get a ton of Ohtani highlights. I don't.
Not as many as you think. When you hear he's got the 10 strikeout game, yeah, or he has the 2 home run game. It's not there enough,
I don't think. All right, we'll come back and take your calls. 610-632-0975. You know what? The one thing I got to say about even watching a game on a computer, the video is so sharp. It's like you think you're going to have to give up a little in terms of the quality of the picture. You're not. It's really unbelievable. All right, we'll be back here, 97.5, D-Lining with you, along with Mike Vito behind the glass, and hope you guys will join the conversation as well. We're with you until 10 o'clock this evening. It's a Friday night, a hot one in July in the Delaware Valley. Back in a moment.
D-Lining on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm back. I'm just checking out so many things here on this Friday night. 8 o'clock hour is upon us. Just going through Twitter. I mentioned to you how the talks are of an NBA trade between the Lakers and the Indiana Pacers, a trade package sending Russell Westbrook and a first round pick to the Pacers for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. And I said currently that is dead because the Pacers want another first round pick. And that's where times are. Russ is getting up there. Buddy Hield, who I mentioned has the third most three-pointers made since 2017 behind Steph Curry and James Harden. And I said to myself, I know people like Buddy Hield. I mean, he shot 36% from 3 last year. I'll take a Maxey and his 43%. I'll take a Seth Curry who's over 40%. You know, I want to, if I'm going for a guy like that, I want him to make it at a higher clip than 36%. I mean, he's a volume guy. He'll take 8.5, 9 threes a game. I wanted to go and look to see who had the most 3-point attempts on average last year in the 21-22 season and what that number was. It definitely was Steph Curry. How many threes do you think he attempted on average per game last year, Mike? Do you know?
I would probably say 8.5, 9 at least. Now, wait, attempted? Probably 13, 14 a game.
12. That's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
12 threes a game.
Not shy about throwing them up.
No. Now, he's allowed because he makes a big number. Let me see. Do I have his numbers? Yeah, I do. He shot 38. I'll take 38. Buddy Hield was 36.5. I kind of gypped him, and he, on average, put up 9. Wow. In Golden State, I mean, I'm sure they, as a team, probably ranked number 1 because Steph put up 12 per game, and Clay put up 9. So between the two of them, you had 21 three attempts per game, and you have Clay shot 43%. And as I meant, did he? No, that was his Clay shot 38.5%. His 43 was from the field. 610-632-0975. Another article, just NBA related, because Kevin Durant is still out there, where they went through and looked at the major NBA trades that moved a big timer over the last 20 years and the impact it had on the team that sent the star and the value they ended up getting back, and basically kind of looked at the reason I started reading the article, because they went from 15 to 1, and the 15th, their 15th pick trade that was of great impact over the last 20 years was Allen Iverson to Denver in 2006. Part of the reason I was also interested is because you see how the philosophy of big time trades have changed over time, because back then you were trying to get players back. The big part of what people do now is they want your picks, right? So, and we've seen that over the last couple of years. And in those kind of deals, the picks haven't even really come to total fruition yet. Like, if you look at what Brooklyn got in the Harden trade from the Sixers, they're coming up. You'll see down the road who they become. And but back in 2006, when they sent Iverson to Denver, and in this trade, obviously Denver was hoping the combination of Iverson and Carmelo Anthony would be a big time deal. It never really panned out for the Nuggets, in my opinion. But they got back Andre Miller, Joe Smith, and two 2007 first round picks. One was from Denver and the other was from Dallas. And basically it said, you know, with the exception of when Derrick Rose blew out his knee, they were an eighth seed that year, knock off the top seed and end up getting to, the semifinals against Boston and get to a game seven, and that was all she wrote. So that one was interesting. The Kawhi Leonard to Toronto in 2018, we all know that, and it got Toronto a championship. They only had him for 1 year. In terms of what they sent to San Antonio, DeMar DeRozan definitely became a better player, but then he later moved on to Chicago, and San Antonio currently is in a complete rebuild. Chris Paul to the Clippers. I had kind of forgotten about this. That was in 2011. And New Orleans got back. This, I can't believe this is what they got back for Chris Paul. Al-Farouq Aminu, Chris Kaman, Eric Gordon, and Minnesota's 2012 first-round pick. And that pick became Austin Rivers. That one, New Orleans got on the short end of that. But New Orleans would do just fine in the AD trade, I think. And that was actually the number one trade of the last 20 years on this list. Tracy McGrady to Houston. Dwight Howard to the Lakers in 2012. Kevin Garnett to Boston in 2007. Shaq to Miami in 2004. Shaq to Miami. The Lakers got back Lamar Odom, Caron Butler, Brian Grant, a 2006 first-round pick, and a 2007 second-round pick. But you can see what I'm saying. It's bulk. You're sending many players for the one guy with a pick. Now it's like the multiple picks. Let me see if I can find something of current time. All right, here's James Harden to Brooklyn. Not the one that got him here. Houston received, I didn't realize some of these names I didn't even know. Radonjić Kuruka, Dante Exum, and then Brooklyn's 2022, 2024, 2026 first-round picks. Pick swaps with Brooklyn in 2021, 23, 25, and 27, and Milwaukee's 2022nd first-round pick. Do you see how the landscape has changed? I mean, that is 1, 2, 3, 4 first-round picks and 3 pick swaps. No, 4 pick swaps. I mean, it has completely shifted of what you ask in return for a superstar now in terms of you want the assets.
I mean, Brooklyn alone wanted, what, 4 picks and Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns.
That's why Jazz
wanted 5 first and 5 players from the Knicks for Mitchell. I think it's gotten a little absurd and out of control what the asking prices are for some of these players.
It is, except for you're on the hook as an organization for such a massive amount of money, number one, and you're giving the max contract because of the level of the player. So I can't take, you know, less on the dollar just because a guy says he wants out, then don't sign the deal.
And it kind of goes both ways. The players get unhappy, but as I said, the owners and the teams kind of get stuck in a middle ground with it almost at the same time.
Yeah. Well, that's why, I mean, when you have Adam Silver coming out and saying, you know, we need to do something about it, I didn't think he would do that. Because in the next collective bargaining agreement, this is going to be a sticking point.
Oh, I think it's going to be a huge sticking point. I was definitely shocked as well. And I guess you can kind of almost take it back to, this started all with LeBron when he made the decision, and kind of the players really started to take control and have more and more say, I guess.
I agree with that. And that did work. And they did, you see the collaboration, you know, whether you want to say the Clippers getting Paul George enabled them to then get Kawhi Leonard because one led to the other wanting to be there. You can see that happening down there in Miami. Jimmy Butler goes and then Kyle Lowry wants to be there. That kind of thing happens. But the signing of the max deal and then saying, I want you to move me, that shift in balance is not okay, because what it takes to get equal value back.
Sure. And you're holding these franchises hostage a little bit.
Correct. And other people don't, you know, some of those teams down in the bottom feeders, all they can give you are picks. And that's also based on potential.
Sure. And so, what the Knicks have racked up, and who's to say you're going to get any high picks out of it? If they play better, you're not guaranteed a lottery pick unless they're protected picks.
Exactly.
To an extent. But even so, that helps the Knicks.
And usually a lot of these, you'll see where they are protected to some degree. So, but I found it interesting that you see how it has evolved over time. Like, just going back to the AI in 2006, I mean, that is 16 years ago, but that was about getting in. And for me personally, Andre Miller was a really good point guard. And Andre Iguodala had his best offensive year of his career, averaging almost 19 points a game that year because he played alongside an Andre Miller. But if in this day and age, an Iverson and you got back an Andre Miller and a Joe Smith, people would laugh at you.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And you got two first-round picks from Denver that were middle of the pack. Yeah, it has absolutely shifted. So I thought I'd share that. And I had also mentioned how in The Athletic today, Rich Hoffman wrote about this team that will take the court for the Sixers in the fall. Quite possibly could be the best team of the process era. It is funny. I always say, how long will the process be? And I guess the true answer to that is, as long as Joel Embiid is here, the process continues. There are different parts of the process. So the trust the process was the blow it up completely associated with Sam Hinkie collecting assets and putting very little back into, you know, spending money, and then eventually using the assets to have high draft picks that now you become a team that contends, wins 50 games, etc. But so this part of the process is now, okay, you're a playoff team, but you're stuck. You're stuck in that second round. And so the next part of this process is getting out of the second round and hopefully getting to your conference championship, if not also the NBA Finals. So that all anything associated with the time Joel Embiid is here is part of the process. And his point is that he believes this team coming up, 2022-23, would be the best Philadelphia 76ers team in the process era. Prior to this, when they had assembled what they called the bully ball team with Al Horford, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, and Josh Richardson, with J.J. Redick still coming off the bench, that was considered, that offseason people were fired up. I was not one of them because I thought the Al Horford was not a good signing. I didn't like it. I didn't like I remember saying to Brett Brown, coach that team at the time, and I remember saying to him, but who's going to make outside shots on this team? Well, we're going to be able to bully everybody and get it in the paint. Well, that didn't come to fruition. That was one of the worst. And because you got to be able to spread the floor. They had no shooters on that team.
I was intrigued by that, but I was definitely questioning how it was going to work.
Yeah. So then it goes on to, you know, obviously in review, they brought in PJ Tucker. He's going to make $10.5 million. They basically swapped Danny Green's spot, became D'Anthony Melton's. They got Daniel House Jr. for some wing depth. You still have in the mix George Niang, Matisse Thybulle. And then you have a Shake Milton. So, and I'm just talking, that's your bench. You know, I would agree. I kind of, again, it's on paper and everything. When you're on paper, it's like, the off season is all about discussing how good, what comes about coming up can be. And I think in the case of, the Sixers, as much as they've improved, and I think we see this across the league, you also have to be looking at how other teams have improved, right? I mean, if you're looking in the Eastern Conference, we know Boston got better. We know Atlanta is interesting, getting a DeJounte Murray. We know that Cleveland was on a roll last year before they were hit with some big injuries. They're young. They're pretty talented. They're up and coming. And that's with Milwaukee wanting to prove that they should be back, winning a second title in 3 years. They wanted to be back-to-back. That didn't happen. And Miami's always going to play you tough. Always going to play you tough. So, I mean, they're supposed to. The Sixers are supposed to be a team that contends for, you know, one of the top 2-3 spots in the Eastern Conference. But when you look around, it ain't getting easier. So I would agree with Hoffman that in the process here, I like it. I put it up there with the Jimmy Butler, but you didn't have Jimmy Butler for the full year. But I did like that team that went to the postseason. I thought that was pretty solid. And after that, I would put these two, without having seen this yet, I'd say 1A, 1 and 1A. How do you think? Or what do you think? And obviously in hindsight, because you know what becomes of a Ben Simmons, you know what happens with Ben Simmons the year after the Toronto series. He doesn't play in the bubble playoffs because of his back, and then has the disaster of what we call 2021, the spring of 2021. So I know that you already know that, but at the time, I liked that team. I was a huge Jimmy Butler fan. I really, I would love to have known who they could have been had he chosen to be here as opposed to going to South Beach. 610-632-0975. Just in case you're a troubled Phillies fan and you're still upset that you can't watch the game right now, I'll tell you that they are tied at a one run apiece down there at Citizens Bank Park and with the Cubs. Schwarber put the run on the board for the Phillies. I did not see who got the home run for the Cubs, but that's where they stand right now. A three-game set that started tonight and then followed by a three-game set with the Braves before they hit the road for four in Pittsburgh. So that's how the next three series go for the Phillies. And then, of course, it's kind of a countdown to Wednesday when the Eagles open training camp. And I can't believe this. I saw somebody was being interviewed. I'm not exactly sure who it was. Their first preseason game is 3 weeks from today. Amazing. Preseason is just like right around the corner. And then, of course, it all gets underway in September, which, as I always say, it just says that the summer is flying by. I think once you have 4th of July, it just goes so fast. 610-632-0975. Are you excited for the Eagles training camp Wednesday? And what are you most looking forward to? There have been different people trying to get ready for training camp, and with baseball until yesterday, you know, on a break and not a whole lot happening. There's been different angles of talking the upcoming NFL season. And one of the topics for today was the strength. I think they said the greatest strength of each of the 32 teams. So one day it was who will be the MVP of each of the 32 teams. And they went through, and there's like multiple, a group of five that kind of debate back and forth. And so today, the strength. And the strength for the Eagles, for in their opinion, was defensive line. I thought they were going to say offensive line, but they went defense. And if you think about it, because it does have a strong offensive line too, if the two of your best parts of your roster are, you know, on both sides of the ball there, that's a good starting point. Good starting point. 610-632-0975. All right, let's check in with Drew real quick. Drew, what's going on?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm good, yeah. So I was just curious to get your opinion on, you know, obviously the Sixers over the years have made a lot of facelift changes to the roster.
yeah.
It seems like every year it's like either they're getting worse than they were 2 years ago, or it seems good, but then it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
So I'm like trying to fast forward a year and a half and see where we are. And I think that the fact that we have, I think the problem that with the Sixers is James Harden right now. I like all the other little role player moves, but I think that, you know, for $36 million, we could be putting that money somewhere else. And I think that, yeah, we might be a little better than the Heat are now, but I think they're making moves to possibly get significantly better. Maybe they get Durant. But, I mean, do you honestly think that James Harden is worth $36 million and that he's going to help us get past the second round next year?
All right, well, first of all, do you believe that you need multiple stars in this league to win, you know, get to your conference championship, get to an NBA Finals, win a world championship?
Well, what's the definition of a star? Like an all-star player or?
Well, okay, you can go all-star because James has been a multiple all-star. Okay. He's also been an MVP in this league.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I do think he's still an elite player. I think that if I wrote down on a piece of paper, we know what Joel Embiid is, right? He led the league in scoring last year, over 30 points.
Yeah.
He had unfortunate, you know, injuries yet again in the postseason that certainly hindered his performance. But if I said the next guy next to him averages 21 points, 10 and a half assists, and 7 rebounds, I would say, wow, okay, I like that, those first two guys. And then I'm adding an up-and-coming, you know, Tyrese Maxey, who I don't think will go backwards. I think he will only continue to go forward. So I don't see Harden as, now, if you're telling me you didn't like how he played in the final two games, I would agree with that 100%.
Well, that's what I'm looking at. But then
you better look at everybody, because I thought the entire team, yeah, including the coaching, was terrible.
You do have a valid point. I think that to get past, let's say, just the second round, let alone get to the finals,
mm-hmm,
all of your top three players have to play. I mean, like when push came to shove, Miami was like better than us in those last two games. So if Harden can't achieve that, then what? Like,
well, just, but I'm going to tell you,
I know it's just one game, but like, it's like it is more than just one game. You know, it's like he was healthy in that game. So what caused him to not?
Well, you say he was healthy. I don't think he was ever completely healthy with the hamstring. I think
he had 31 points the two games before.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I will say this, two things. Okay. One, that what Miami did defensively against Embiid, you know, when they started to double him in the game four in the fourth quarter without the ball, to then not be able to adjust to that as a team and as an individual at all to that, you know, you had to make them pay for doing that, and they didn't do it. So that would be my first thing. And my other thing is, I agree, he cannot come back and not be effective in those situations. But I will say the same has to be for Embiid. You know, you need to come through for me in those big game situations. He had 8 turnovers in game 7 against the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, He's not a closer. That's the problem. And they don't have a closer right now. Embiid's a really good player for the season, and he can play well in the post, but he doesn't know how to close. And that's, he's not going to take over a series, even if he's healthy.
Well, his presence should be able to allow them to take over in other ways, Harden being one of them. I mean, I think I will say this, and I hope that he comes back different this year. The fact that Harden this past year, they would not allow him to get to the line in the postseason, or for that matter, really across the board, not just James Harden.
And the refs, you mean?
Yes, that they didn't call the game the way it used to be called. And when that's
the
rule changed. But when that was a huge part of who you are, I mean, this guy led the league for years in free throw attempts. Now here you are, and you think you're doing the same thing, and you're not getting there.
Right, so, that's the definition of bad, like bad learning or bad coaching or bad development.
Well, but he needs to let that go and just be better this year. I'm going to give the guy definitely this year. I don't think 22 games coming in the middle of, you know, I go across the board of thinking trades
so you
that
think
happen.
That they're going to get past second round?
I mean, I got to see it play
out.
They're
all healthy.
Yeah, and if people stay on the pace of where they've been playing, yeah. You know, I mean, I think they've upgraded. I do.
Okay.
And I also say that if you see a deficiency that you don't feel is going to come through for you come the start of the postseason, then you need to absolutely fix that before that trade deadline.
Is PJ Tucker the fifth starter, or is it the guy Melton they got? Which one of those?
I think it'll be Tucker, to be honest with you. I think they slide Tobias to the 3, Tucker at the 4. And I think because I think you want the defensive toughness out of the gate.
Right.
To me, that's what I would do.
Okay. And then one more comment before I go. So I was in a Sixers game, and my wife said, I need you to get a sweatshirt. So she wasn't at the game. So not only were the ticket prices, like, I thought they were really expensive. I don't know. But the sweatshirt that I got was a plain sweatshirt with, like, a logo. It was $92 with tax. So I was disappointed that they're basically
the gear,
price gouging the fans. And that's why this new stadium, I think, is not a good idea, because it's just a money grab for the team on there.
All right, I got to take a break. Thank you, Drew, for the phone call. I'll come back with my thoughts. I'm going to double check, because I don't know that the Sixers are the ones that set the pricing. I think that's through the NBA. I think that's part of the. I'll have to see. I'm going to go, because I know that I always have the NBA store, and those prices at the NBA store are the same as what I see in the whatever they call the shop. I know the Phillies won, but all right, we'll talk about that on the other side. Brian, sit tight. We'll get to Joel and be with you as well. 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.